Bruce Pratt here for this week's Sports Lit 101. We're joined on the phone by the author of the book In Search of Monster Fish, Angling for a More Sustainable Planet, Mark Spitzer, with us. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be on again.
Fascinating book. I did not know that I needed to learn about. And by the way, see a pretty scary picture of the biggest carp I've ever seen in my life, but now I'm glad I did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. On the cover, it's a giant goldfish. Yeah.
That, well, the carp, the picture inside of the carp, that thing's just, that's frightening. Oh, yeah. That's the stuff of nightmares.
That's a 50-pounder, yeah. But some places in Europe, they'll get up to 100 pounds.
Oh, Lord. Lordy.
Well, Mark, this is Bruce. One of the great things about this book is that you ask a lot of hard questions, not just rhetorically, but of yourself. And you talk about this as being the period of disenlightenment. What can anglers best do to make it safer for fish on this planet? I guess is what I'd have to say. Have you come up with that answer yet? Because I haven't.
Well, we can share our experiences, and we can talk to each other about how to treat fish responsibly. I think, you know, the more and more we go along, the more and more catch and release is practiced. Certainly the musky fishery, you know, people used to catch muskellunge all the time and then get them mounted and taxidermied on their walls. And then we found out this just wasn't sustainable, and a culture change did take place. Now, I mean, it's pretty much standard that if you catch a muskellunge, you let it go. People have, it's become part of their consciousness, so maybe there's some lessons we can take from the muskellunge fishery.
Well, you've gone all around the world searching, you know, sort of a bucket list of fish, and you've noted that there are some places where basically there are no laws and the fisheries can suffer. But you've also taken a look at fish that most people wouldn't look at. I mean, alligator gar and some of the other things over in both of your books that you've talked about. Do you think that one of the ways that we can improve fishing for everybody is to teach kids to fish for things that don't look like they came off an Orvis catalog?
No, definitely. And, you know, it's just like most people just don't know about, you know, how to catch these fish or why they should catch them. And, I mean, I'm just fascinated with any ugly fish, you know, monstrous looking fish. But, you know, maybe books like this could help spread awareness of those fish and spread the fascination too. There's definitely enough cable shows on TV that are spreading the fascination.
Yeah, I was fishing a couple of years back in Orkney in Scotland on a cloudy, windy, rainy day. And the guide there told me that they felt that for their locks, catch and release had been a disaster, that they weren't taking enough fish in the medium size so that they were putting all the big fish back, and no one was taking any of them. And I said to him, well, what's your reason for that? And he said, well, he says, before you guys taught us that, the fish in here was even better than it is now.
Yeah.
So I'm only bringing that up because, as you point out in the book, there is no one-size-fits-all way to look at fishing, that the more people we get interested in it, the more people experience it, the more they'll care about the environment we fish in.
Right. Yeah. No one-size-fits-all. It's just like there's solutions that I offer in the back of the book for fisheries as well as this planet, you know, experiencing climate change and oil spills and everything, but there's no one solution for everything. We just need to diversify and, like, put our investments in all sorts of pockets and all sorts of techniques, all sorts of strategies.
We're talking with Mark Spitzer, author of In Search of Monster Fish. Mark, are there nations that are doing it better than we are, and what are they doing to create more sustainability?
You know, I can't think of any nations right now that are doing it better. We're actually doing a really good job in this nation. I mean, we pay taxes, and so we have got federal and state and, you know, county people working on our fisheries. they're stocking and they're making regulations and they're doing outreach with the public. So a lot of countries, you know, don't even have that luxury. But then I think of France, you know, and they've got, and all over Europe, there's these fish farms, these fishing lakes where they're allowing, you know, the carp to get 50 pounds, like we started talking about at the beginning of this segment. So they're creating conditions in Europe. The fish are basically kept in parks, and, you know, you pay to go in and fish for them. And a lot of people feel like, well, those aren't wild fish, and in some ways they're right. But having those fish in those protected environments where you can sort of takes the pressure off the fish in the wild. So yeah, that's one thing the Europeans are really doing right, I think.
Well, you also led into where I was going. This is a brilliant young eco-critic and fabulous fisherman named Corey Willard. He's a PhD student out at Nebraska, and he's from Alberta, Canada. I've had the chance to fish with Corey all over North America. And one of the things that he pointed out is that if you have places like this where kids can go catch fish, kids will be interested in learning how to fish. And then if they learn there are wild fish and wild places to go, they'll want to go there and do that, but they will have already developed a kind of an ethic about fishing. And do you think that's a good idea?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all sorts of kids want to go fishing. You know, we have programs in this country, you know, that take kids fishing, and, you know, like first here in Arkansas where I am, I think the first weekend in June is open. It's like free fishing for everybody or something like
right.
that. It's like people, you don't have to have a license. This gets parents to take kids fishing, you know, when they don't have to pay. All kids want to mess around with fish.
I know most of the fishing I do is fly fishing. Most of it's here in Maine. Last year I had a chance to go out and fish for huge bass for me, 8-9 pound bass out in Kansas. And I thought I never would have enjoyed spinning again. I sort of thought I was by all that. I had a great time because I'd never seen some of these fish I was catching. You've done with on television and in your books, you've shown people a lot of these kind of fish. Why do you think it is people are obsessed with only the fish that looks like something they want to see in the supermarket?
I suppose it's what they know. Salmon, trout, those are safe fish. We know that we can eat them. They have little scales that aren't pesky at all. So, you know, we also have this standard for beauty that we've set for fish. And, you know, I think it was my prior fish book. I made a comment about how trout are sort of the Marcia Brady fish.
Yes,
they're beautiful, and then there's the Jan Brady fish that aren't getting the attention. But you know, trout and salmon, they have got a lot of food value also, and they are good to eat. I mean, they taste a lot better than other fish. So that's probably another reason they're in the supermarkets as well.
Did you have one? I was going to ask you before we let you go, if you look down the road 10 years from now, are you more optimistic that fishing is going to improve, or do you believe that the environmental challenges are so great that we got a long way to go before we turn the corner?
Well, that's a really interesting question. And I mean, the UN climate report came out in October and basically told us that we've got 12 years before everything, you know, gets really, really bad. I mean, so we've got basically 12 years to start taking action and start putting some serious fixes on this planet. If we don't get to those and make some serious progress, the fisheries are going to suffer along with all the rest of the ecosystems on the planet. So that's not a very encouraging message. I hate to be a fear-monger, but we're under some serious pressure here.
Mark Spitzer is the author of a terrific new book, In Search of Monster Fish. And also go back, and if you haven't read it, read the book that we talked about with Mark a couple of years ago that was so terrific, Beautifully Grotesque Fish of the American West. Mark,
fabulous book, too.
Yeah, thanks for coming back on, Mark. Great to talk with you again.
Yeah, great talk with you guys.
Thank you, Mark. We'll see you soon.
Okay, thanks.